Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra live on Blog Talk Radio this January 5th, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. I'm Estra, your host, for our 19th show. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Today on the broadcast, our topic will be about you and finding a new car. Did you realize the main reason most people are in search of purchasing a vehicle is because they don't have one? In your case, it could be because of a recent car accident. And now you're back out on the market searching for another vehicle. Today, I'm going to share information that will hopefully help you make a more informed decision, which allows a closer match of needs, expectations, and the value for your money as we talk about current market conditions. Our approach today and with future topics on Talking About You with Estra is presented from a consumer perspective, meaning we talk in terms of how a car accident impacts your life. It's your challenges when faced with a car collision that tell the story. The life experiences that follow that initial car wreck, to dealing with medical, attorney, insurance, and self-insured employer situations. This show is really about you. Personally, firsthand, I know your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, Life Assurance Company, Social Security, and employer S&C Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. This is a journey usually presented unexpectedly with many twists and turns. Being informed and prepared can make a difference not only in the outcome, but your peace of mind through the process. There is so much to consider. Many people don't realize it until they are in this situation when you've been in a car accident. That's why keeping a copy of my car accident book, Personal Injury, Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support by Estra in your vehicle can make it easy to remember, and you're able to begin documenting right from the start. So when asking or receiving questions or needing answers, you've written the information right there inside your book with plenty of writing space, yet small enough to carry with you, reducing information retrieval hassles. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being in a car accident are up for discussion. My mission is to bring wisdom, knowledge, and support to you in hopes of reducing the time spent on hassles or dealing with bad faith practices and having more time for personal injury recovery. Also on today's show, we will share tweets, blogs, articles, videos, and music, in addition to taking your calls at 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385. Listeners, share your new car accident search tips and make somebody's day. It's very important for others to hear your story and can also be helpful in the healing process. So get ready to dial 718-766-4385. Someone injured just like you is waiting to hear your story. Any comments you'd like to make now or after the show can be sent to Estra's Radio Show at blogtalkradio.com or Twitter at Estra's Radio Show or Facebook at www.facebook.com/.blogtips. When we come back, personal injury in the news this week is next. Now bring your conversations to Estra's Radio Show on Block Talk Radio. Are you looking for a new insurance carrier or for employment? Make sure you select a corporation that will treat you with respect and dignity. Also, pay out your benefits if involved in a car accident. No one wants to deal with an employer or insurance company who has a reputation for bad faith practices. Hi, this is Estra. Being injured doesn't mean your life is over. Never give up. Keep living, loving, and caring about yourself and others. You are back listening to Estra's radio show on Block Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Our topic is you and finding a car accident. First, I'd like to again give a shout out to the Hartford Property and Casualty Insurance Company, especially Kelly LJ, for their professional, prompt, courteous service on my claim. Now it's onward and upward to find another car. But first, personal injury in the news this week. The purpose of this section is to emphasize that every single day, someone's life has changed due to a car accident. Being able to depend on insurance coverages of all types we've paid premiums on is vital to the survival of many people who are injured and their families. These views are my own and have no association with the writers of the article. From time to time, I will be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. This week's personal injury in the news comes from NewburyportNews.com by Dave Rogers, titled, Man Charged in Fatal Car Accident, quote, and this is in Boston, a Lawrence man who police say plowed into an oncoming car while going the wrong way on the Gillis Bridge on New Year's Eve, killing one of his passengers, has been charged with a felony vehicular homicide and multiple drunken driving charges. Mikhail Sarkis, 50, and it gives his address, was arraigned yesterday inside his Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center hospital room by Quincy District Judge Paul Yee Jr. According to Essex County District Attorney spokeswoman Carrie Kimball Monahan, he is accused of being responsible for the death of 41-year-old Donna Bergeron of East Hampstead, New Hampshire, one of two passengers inside his Lincoln Town car when it collided with a Mercury Grand Marquis driven by 20-year-old Salisbury resident Corey Burgess. All four people involved sustained injuries and were transported to Anna Jacques Hospital in Newburyport. Bergeron was pronounced dead at the hospital. Sarkis was later transferred to Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. A hospital spokesman yesterday said Sarkis was in good condition. According to Anna Jacques Hospital spokesperson, Burgess was treated and released. Yee ordered Sarkis held on a $100,000 bail pending a January 30th pretrial hearing at the Newport District Court. Should Sarkis post bail, he will not be able to leave his home and must not drive. He will be required to wear an electronic locator device at all times and not use drugs or alcohol with random screenings. He will also be required to use a sobriety, a remote alcohol breath testing device that connects to existing home phones and power lines. In addition to vehicular homicide charges, Sarkis was arraigned on two counts of driving while under the influence of alcohol causing serious bodily injury, open container of alcohol in a motor vehicle, marked lanes and failure to wear a seatbelt. Salisbury's Police Department, Salisbury Police Sergeant Robert Roy first issued the complaint against Sargas at Newburyport District Court. Burgeon was a longtime employee at the Atkinson Country Club. Hampstead Police Lieutenant John Fraser said Bergeron lived alone in an apartment, and it gives the address. Police said they had a very difficult time locating Bergeron's family to make the death notification. Bergeron worked for 5 years as a bartender and served at the Atkins Country Club. She was an extremely dedicated employee, and she was liked by all of her peers, our guests, and members, said Christine Perry, controller at the Atkinson Country Club. She will be missed. A spokeswoman from the Douglas and Johnson Funeral Home in Salem said Bergeron's body had not yet been released from the medical examiner's office. According to police, Sargas was traveling on Merrimack Street in Newburyport about 11:35 p.m. and took a left-hand turn heading north into Salisbury via the southbound side of the divided Route 1 bridge over the Merrimack River. Sargas' town car almost made it to the other side of the bridge before striking the southbound traveling Burkus. Salisbury's police are in the process of trying to determine where Sargas began his journey and have reached out to Newbury Police for assistance. Newburyport Police Lieutenant Richard Samisco confirmed his department was working with Salisbury Police to determine whether a Newburyport pouring establishment overserved Sargas. Whoever served him has significant exposure, Samisco said yesterday. Newburyport firefighters led by Lieutenant Barry Salt was the first to arrive at the scene, followed by Salisbury firefighters and police officers from both communities. Rescue units were at the scene for nearly 3 hours before clearing the scene, and the southbound lane of the bridge was closed for a time. Salisbury firefighters used the jaws of life to extricate at least one of the victims in the crash, according to the Salisbury Fire Chief Richard Solotis. End quote. You know, each day we take for granted daily routines. We think that they're going to be the same. Or even on New Year's Eve, that however we choose to celebrate it, that we assume that we'll have the outcome that we had the year before. Unfortunately, in this article, it was not the case. Problems come way too easily, but are difficult sometimes to get out of, and can have detrimental consequences. Be safe out there and use caution. Know your limits. Many disabilities come from being injured in car accidents, which leads right into our video from the White House. I'd like to introduce you to the people to contact with your concerns and issues regarding being injured and now currently being disabled. Also, let them know that we need ERISA reform by Congress to help injured receive their long-term disability benefits from self-insured employers. After the video, it's just going to be a portion of it. It's not going to play the full thing. But the main point is I wanted you to be able to know who to contact and also their actual website is whitehouse.gov/disability-issues-contact. And that'll also be up on my Facebook if you actually need to get it again. So, without further ado, let's listen to the White House.
Welcome to the White House virtual town hall on disability issues. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're very excited to be hosting this first White House Town Hall on Disability Issues. My name is Kareem Dale, and I'm Special Assistant to the President for Disability Policy here at the White House. I work in the Office of Public Engagement, which is Valerie Jarrett's office, handling outreach to the disability community. I also work in the Domestic Policy Council, which is Melody Barnes' office, coordinating the administration's policy on disability issues, along with my colleague, who you're going to hear from in a second. So we're going to introduce ourselves, tell you a little bit about us, and then we're going to jump into the many questions we have received online and that some of you all may email to us live here today. So thanks again for joining us, and let me turn it over to my colleague, Jeff Crowley, to introduce himself.
Thank you, Kareem. Hello, everybody. As Kareem said, I'm Jeff Crowley, and I'm the Senior Advisor on Disability Policy in the White House, the Domestic Policy Council. I'm also the Director of the Office of National AIDS Policy. So in the work that Kareem and I do together, I'm our lead on health policy issues. I actually have, my background is in Medicaid and Medicare policies, which we know are big issues for people with disabilities. But we sort of coordinate the broad disability agenda together for the president.
My name is Rebecca Coakley. I am the Director of Priority Placement for Public Engagement in the Office of Presidential Personnel here at the White House. Our job is creating an administration that reflects the diversity of America, and this president operates off of an extremely wide and broad definition of diversity. So we're out there finding the best and the brightest around the country to come and serve the president.
And my name is Sarah Feuerstein. I'm Kareem Dale's assistant in the Office of Public Engagement. I help him with disability outreach.
Thank you very much, everybody. So, you know, we felt like the best approach today was to give you a brief introduction about us, but really to spend the majority of the time answering your questions and hearing from you and trying to address the issues that many of you raise. Unfortunately, we received so many questions, or I should say fortunately, because we're very happy people were engaged, we won't be able to answer all of the questions. We received somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 1,000 questions. So, we won't be able to get to all of them, but we're certainly going to try to address a broad range of issues from a broad spectrum of persons from around the country. And Sarah, who we just heard from, is going to be moderating and reading the questions, and Jeff, Becca, and I will be answering the questions. We also have the ability to accept questions live today, and you can do that by emailing us at disability@who.eop.gov. That's disability@who.eop.gov. So let me turn it over to Sarah to start with the questions.
Okay, our first question is actually two questions, and they're related. The first one comes from Frank in Royal Oak, Michigan, who says, what is the administration's position on funding for disability-related initiatives as we move forward? It is clear that the current political position on one side stresses reductions in support for those in need. If cuts to entitlements occur, many currently underserviced individuals will suffer even more. What is the vision of the president for assisting those with disabilities? And the related question also from Carrie in Marshall, Minnesota. I've heard discussions that legislature wants to eliminate programs that help those with disabilities be independent as possible in the community, thus forcing people into group homes, nursing homes, and institutions. What are your thoughts and feelings regarding this issue?
I'll start, and Kareem, you might want to add. So, you know, it's clear that our country is facing very serious financial challenges, and the president believes we need to address them, both to come up with short-term solutions and long-term solutions. I think he believes that the way we'll get to a more stable and secure future for people with disabilities and others is if we really tackle the tough choices. And I think he's said that he's willing to put all issues on the table and address them fairly. He's also said he's looking for a balanced approach, though. So in particular with relation to the key healthcare programs, he said he's not going to allow Medicare to be fundamentally changed, so it's no longer the same program that we know it today. He said he's not going to allow Medicaid to be block granted, so it can't meet its important role in serving people with disabilities and others. As you know, if you read the news, there's a lot of talk going on about the negotiations, different things that are being said. I think the president is trying, though, to again, find a balanced approach so that these programs will be stable. Since the beginning of his administration, though, we've faced difficult fiscal choices, and he's proven his commitment to people with disabilities. He worked hard to enact the Affordable Care Act, which gives us a long-term solution that will really greatly expand access to insurance coverage, but also do many things along the way to make our health system work more efficiently for all Americans, but including people with disabilities. So I think he has a long-term vision, is trying to get there. But as he faces these immediate challenges around the debt ceiling and other conversations, he's really looking for a balanced approach, and he's willing to take a free and open look at all the issues on the table so that we can hopefully move forward together as all Americans. Kareem, did you want to add to that?
I think the only thing I would add is that I think what the president is talking about is there's a fundamental choice here. Both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, all want to reduce the deficit, and that's the goal. And the fundamental choice is between how we do that. And what we've seen from the Republican plan is that they want to reduce the deficit, and they want to give tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires and folks like the president who make lots of money. And the choice there is that with the president's plan, what we don't want to do is to have those tax breaks and also turn Medicaid into a dramatically underfunded block grant. And that's the choice. And the president wants to find a good, balanced approach where everybody has to sacrifice a lot, but we're not going to do that on the backs of people with disabilities while tax breaks are going to millionaires and billionaires and corporate jet owners.
It's important to actually contact these individuals and let them know where you stand. There is so much at stake, and your voice needs to be heard. You might be that next victim in that car accident, and you might not be able to count on benefits from your employer. Talk to individuals disabled over 2 years and now unable to work. Find out how long their employers actually paid out their benefits. The link for the White House video is up on my Facebook page. Now, stay tuned. We'll be right back with my commentary on you and finding a new car after these messages. Are you worried about what's going to happen next? Got those insurance company blues? Don't let a car collision keep you confused. Talking About You with Estra tells it like it is. You'll find wisdom, knowledge, and support now. Isn't it time for us to talk? To get the answers that you need? Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Get rid of those insurance company blues. Thank you for being a part of Estra's radio show. Estra's mission is to provide hope, encouragement, and information to those dealing with insurance and self-insured employer disability harassment and intimidation tactics in an effort to eliminate disability claims. Many individuals injured in car accidents are attempting to navigate their way through many processes that lay traps for them from the very start, especially if seriously injured or it becomes chronic in nature. So stay tuned every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Thank you for being a part of Estra's radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Now for my commentary on finding a new car. Is it time for you to look for a new vehicle? What is important when searching for a new car? Price? New car versus old? Mileage? Year, make, model? What about gas prices or insurance rates? Do you consider car safety ratings? Do you want to purchase from a private owner or a dealer? These are some of the most common considerations. Do you follow the current or future car industry trends? Or do you just go out and grab the first one you like and can afford? If you are purchasing a used car, to get it checked out first is a good thing, because there is nothing worse than expending your hard-earned cash only to find out you picked a lemon that will need to be replaced, and depending on state laws, a determination to fight whom it was purchased from. And this can be a long, drawn-out process. So spend some time thinking about what's best for you. Willing to have a car payment, or prefer paying cash? And if needing or wanting a loan, are you dealing with a finance company that does not increase your rates because of your gender or race? What's the interest rate you can afford? In current economic conditions, preferences to purchase a used car to stay within budget and to eliminate some uncertainty, because many people laid off have huge mortgages and loans, car loans, with fewer resources to cover basic needs, and they found themselves in bankruptcy court. Therefore, many people are making a decision to put off buying a new car, finding a car that is currently within their means. This actually makes fewer used cars available, leaving more new cars to be purchased. This also decreases the demand and new car production, yet boosts up the cost for used cars. So is the better deal a used car or a new one? It depends on a combination of additional factors that are personalized to your requirements to be comfortable physically and financially with a vehicle. What this means is spending time evaluating the car of your choice from many different aspects. Yes, many of the specific items mentioned must be addressed and evaluated, allowing for good decision making. Are there cars you've decided have been marked off your list? Make sure the cars you're looking at don't have the same attributes. Which car companies are best for the sales policies? Will they be in business the next year? We've had some of that happen as of late. How close are they to you, and can they meet your current warranty and maintenance needs? So let's take a look at some of the facts to help you make your decision. These facts can also be found on my Facebook, AskFirst.blogtips. Believe me, there's a lot of research I did in actually trying to find information about purchasing another car. So make sure that you go out and take a look, because you'll find them helpful if you're currently in the market to find a car. So the first thing I actually took a look at was the actual market rates, and a great place to find this information is called www.bankrate.com. And they actually even have a section on their web link where you can actually click in so that you can actually find the best auto rates in your area. And you can actually follow them on Twitter at Bankrate, and they also have Bankrate on Facebook. But one of the things that stood out in my mind was the 3-month auto trends. And one of the things I noticed was that the actually 60-month new car rate, and they took it out to January and February, was that the actual rate is actually decreasing. In fact, it's done a major drop. It's gone from like 4.25% to down to 4.15 almost percent, so which is good. So the 60-month new car rate is 4.16 on an average. 48 months it's 4.08, and 36 months used car loan is 4.87. So you can see there's a difference between the 60-month new car, which is 4.16, the 48-month new car, which is 4.08, and the 36-month used car, which is 4.87. So that's almost a percentage point more for a used car. So that's what I'm saying, as you're actually evaluating your decision, make sure that you take into consideration all the different variables that you'll be working for. If considering a new car, notice the interest rates that they are trending down, and make sure to compare the value of the new car with used ones since the demand of used cars is increasing the cost of them. And also compare what you should be paying or what you will be paying monthly in expenses on both to ensure that you are getting the most value for your money. Sometimes things are not actually always as they seem. You may end up paying less for a new car than a new one. Can you believe that? And this is why it's important to compare each expense and choose accordingly. NextCars.com has a loan calculator to help estimate costs. Did you actually realize, and that would be actually a good way to check and make sure that you're actually in the price range that you want to be. And you can also get a feel for what you're seeing the market is expecting too. But there's also a lot of great articles. So make sure you check the Facebook at Esther's Blog Tips because it's got a lot of great information. But did you realize that most people tend to finance their cars because of cost? In fact, 9 out of 10 people finance because that's the only way they can afford their car. But this is not always how it's been. And it doesn't actually still have to be that way if it puts you in a bad place. You don't need to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, are they really that happy or just indebted? Make sure that you enhance the quality of your life, not make it more difficult for you. So choose wisely and make sure that what you do end up with is something that you want, which is really important. You don't want to be in something, stuck in something you don't even like and you have to see it every day. So make sure that you get something that you like, but yet still is comfortable and it's something that's not going to add sorrow to your day. See, and that actually is, you can go out for the loan calculator. It's at www.cars.com /go/advice/financing/calc. So, and like I said, you can actually find it out on Facebook. The USA Census Bureau shows that car dealerships are on the decline, and that doesn't surprise me because people haven't been buying new cars because they haven't had really the money, and it's too uncertain time to try to jump into something, you know. However, they say we're out of recession, but someone needs to tell our incomes. You know, maybe if they actually provided us with more jobs, more people could get a job and feel secure in that job and then go on and start leading a normal life again. That would be nice to see us move from terror, fear, uncertainty to a place of looking forward to the future and doing things that make our community as a whole a lot better. But more people want to be safe than sorry and are purchasing used vehicles. There is nothing like uncertainty that will cause people to hold off, delay, or find reduced prices for needed items. However, domestic car purchases are improving, so that's definitely a good sign. So, and you can also check www.census.gov. Got a lot of information on kind of where we're trending. Also, last year, ABC News reported that the average car in the U.S. is now 10 years old, which is a record. So it's just like people are evaluating their choices based on their current economic condition. So, also, Statista.com shows manufacturers are bringing up new models. And that's kind of the trend. And this may be because they want to encourage people to start buying again. But this will only happen when economies show improvement and consumers are really comfortable about their income, that it will not be evaporating. But you can actually view some of these models by going out to them and taking a look. So everyone's really trying hard to move back in the right direction. Let's hope that we can get our political Congress people to start doing things that are in the best interest of the citizens. Another actual website that I really enjoyed was, it's called cars.lovetoknow.com, and I just want to make a quick quote on the cost of vehicles that it showed, because I actually found from my research that these numbers were actually quite close from what I saw today. Quote, the U.S. Census Bureau computed the average cost of a new car in 2007 according to the manufacturer's suggested retail price. The average cost of a new vehicle was $26,000. Oh, things are always popping up at the wrong time. $26,950. And the average cost of a used car was $8,186. And I found that to still be, when I went out to check prices today, January 2013, to be about the same range. So those seem to be kind of holding true. But remember, there's always room for negotiation, so there's always a deal to be made if you're patient and you actually know what you want. So, but they had a lot of other great statistics out there, so you might want to also view their link. It's at car.lovetoknow.com, car_sales_statistics_USA. So, but how the actual Bureau of Labor Statistics in January 2013, though, still shows demand is still slow, and it's not actually at pre-recession levels. The three top U.S. car manufacturers, though, are holding their own, and they do have international competition that will continue to spark their creativity in order to stay a dominant force in the market. This may be something you place into consideration when purchasing a car. There's a lot of activity out there, and I think we've seen how a lot of car manufacturers have been jumping in together, switching up, going to different countries. I mean, you name it, I think in this industry we've seen it. One of my favorite links was the NADA.org, which provides highlights of the 2012 industry. So I want to go ahead and talk about how does the information help you in decision making. And to me, it, by knowing your market and then doing your research on the specifics of your car model that you desire, you're able to estimate better purchase decisions and monthly maintenance costs. And NADA.org actually provided some, to me, some statistical information that really kind of showed you where the market's going, and they actually called it highlights, but I'm just going to read that for you. It's, quote, the U.S. auto industry sold 1.3 million units, they call them units, cars, in the month of December. This was an increase of 9% over December 2011. More impressively, the SAR was strong, 15.4 million, the second month in a row that it was over 15 million units. I'm going to stop. This is me for a minute, which means we actually are seeing us moving in the right direction. So it's kind of good we didn't actually go all over the cliff, because I think that would have probably started setting us back a bit. So I'm going back to the article now, the 2012 highlight quote. The U.S. auto industry sold 14.4 million units in 2012, an increase of 13% over 2011. The Ford brand was the best-selling nameplate for the year. Oh, that's my favorite car. But anyway, I'm going to go on. That's just me. With sales of 2.1 million units, followed by Chevrolet, which was 1.8 million in sales. Mercedes-Benz captured the luxury sales crown with sales of 295,000 units, up 13%. So as you can see, I'm sorry to be interjecting, you can see things going up, up. So at least we're becoming more hopeful. Hopefully, our hope will be followed by jobs, which will be followed by certainty, so we can continue to move on. Going back to the article now. The Ford F-Series remained the nation's top-selling vehicle and top-selling truck with sales of 607,854 units. The 33rd year in a row, the F-Series has claimed this distinction. The Toyota Camry was the top-selling car with sales of 404,866 units. Alternative fuel vehicle sales were 3.5 million units, up 13.4% from a year ago. Alternatives make up 2.4% of industry volume. I'm going to stop here for a moment. As you can see, we're actually going to start moving in that direction, so you can expect that number as years go on to increase, but there's other things that are going to have to follow that, like income for people and the cost of them coming down. Okay, back into the article. Of the 3.5 million alternatives sold, 12,165 units were electric and 38,585 were plug-in hybrids. So the sales for hybrids, oh my goodness, increased by 403%. So that definitely seems to be the direction in which we're going. Four brands had sales increase of more than 30% for the year. Fiat up 92%, Scion up 49%, Chrysler up 39%, and VW up 35%. Mike Jackson, CEO of AutoNation, by the way, there's some actual links for AutoNation out on my site too, which were great, remarked on CNBC that considering the challenges related to the physical cliff, consumers appear to be in the buying mood. I think this was me interjecting. Consumers are always in the buying mood. It's just having the resources to buy. And I think that's a great thing when people stop, think about, can I afford this? Would this put me in a better place before purchasing? That makes everything better. Okay, I'm going back to the article. He further predicted that the industry could reach 16 million units in 2013. One more stop here, which means if that's the case, we're only at 17 million before the pre-recession, which means that if we get to 16 million, we really are moving away from the recession, which is probably good news for all of us. The census, I'm going back to the article, the census estimates for 2013 is 15.6 million, end quote. So, for the total links, for great information, make sure to visit Esther's blog tips on Facebook, because I spent a bit of time going out finding information that I thought would be helpful in allowing you to make better decisions on how to how to purchase your car, or how in making a decision to purchase your car. In my opinion, choose a vehicle that is within your budget restraint so it doesn't cause future grief, or in bad times can be repossessed with all work lost. Ask somebody who has had that happen. Let it be one you are satisfied with where value does not decrease rapidly, especially since it definitely looks like at that 403% we are moving toward hybrids. Take into consideration both the cost to insure and the fuel and maintenance costs. An overall view of every aspect of the car and how it will impact your daily life is very important. If after considering these issues and you're in a favorable place, decide on your purchase. Thank goodness you made it through the process, right? Otherwise, keep looking. Be patient with yourself. You may face some difficult circumstances, but in the end, you may gain greater satisfaction and have a car that meets many of your needs. So, that's my commentary on finding a new car. So, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Remember, being injured doesn't mean your life is over. The new year, 2013, is meant for you too. But be prepared and informed. Pick up your copy of Car Accident by Estra today. Keep it in your vehicle, just in case you're in a collision. Listeners, I've really enjoyed being with you today again. I can't believe how quickly our shows can pass. But I'd like to meet you back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. I'd like to extend a special thank you, as always, to Fabian Claudel, James Edwards, InternetArchives.org, Cora Kea, Marcus Miller, David Reyes, Jocelyn Wathall, and Willie Icebon. And to all the articles that we actually used in our show today, please make sure to visit their websites, and their links are out on Facebook at estras.blogtips. Next week, we'll talk about you and your dreams. Are you still into them? Let's talk about it. Tune in on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show and her opinions, in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing at P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.